You are listening to ESP Media's broadcast of the Mueller Crusaders.
Hi again, everybody. We welcome you into ESP Media coverage of Mueller Crusader Athletics as today, for the first time, we go on the air with Mueller football and the new head coach, Doug Rossfeld. I am Greg Waddell, and joining me here, Richard Skinner, along with the new head coach, Doug Rossfeld. And so good to have you on here, Doug. I know we're going to start to do this a little bit more regularly once we get into football season, but right now it's only May, but we blink, and it's going to be football season.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes trying to figure out what we're going to call on third and one, so.
it's a little early for that, right? No, maybe not.
Doesn't feel that way. Feels like it's pretty close, gentlemen.
Well, what we're going to do here, and we're going to have podcasts, and we're going to kind of change things up from what we've done in years past as far as what the football coverage is. It's a new era of Mueller football, and I want you to kind of explain your whole thoughts and processes of what we're going to do here. We're going to have this podcast, the On the Air with Mueller Football, talking about the games as we get into the fall, but we're also going to do a little bit different video show than what we've done in years past.
Well, we're trying to open the doors of Mueller football right now, and that's why we're doing it here in May. Like you said, it's not quite football season, but it is camp season. It's a time of year when people take vacations, alumni come back to campus, so we want to open our doors in every way possible, this included. So hopefully we've give our alumni and people that care about the Mueller family something to listen to, something to watch, something to share with their family. Hopefully their sons are enjoying listening and learning a little bit about Mueller football now, coming to our camps, being around our sporting events. We've got a lot cooking at Mueller in the month of May. And then later on, when the season gets going, they feel like they're part of the family, and they'll come out and support our young guys when they play on the field.
I know as a assistant basketball coach, watching my head coach run a program, I know all the things that he has to go through that I don't have to go through. You've been an assistant at times. Now you're the guy in charge. When you first got this and you had your plan and you're working your plan, what was the one thing you went and you went, whew, boy, I feel like the day just started and I haven't gotten anything accomplished? Because it is a lot when you are in charge of the program.
Yeah. Well, especially in a program like this where I got a chance to talk to every one of the previous head coaches and had worked for a couple of them, had played for another, consider a few of them to be very dear friends, and then held the other two up as idols. I mean, guys that I had really learned what Mueller football was. I mean, a collection of men that to be even grouped in that conversation is staggering. So before even day one started, to consider the responsibility, the opportunity to be Mueller football's coach, in and of itself, a little overwhelming. But staffing-wise, we wanted to get in quick, and we wanted to give our guys an opportunity to just worry about themselves. Mueller has such prestige. It's a storied football program, yep. And sometimes when you stub your toe a little bit, it can be a little overwhelming. I remember I was part of a 5-5 team my junior year here, and lifting and looking up at the plaques and realizing who we were, it felt like maybe a little much too much weight to carry. Right. So we pulled a lot of that stuff off, and we wanted to teach our guys, just worry about yourselves, just worry about this team, worry about each other, and then everything else will come back in time. And that's really what was priority number one, getting the culture set that they were worrying about each other and themselves first, and then representing Mueller second.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the weight of that, you're right. It's one thing you want them to see the tradition, see the history, see the success, and know that that's attainable. At the same time, you're right. When things maybe aren't going as well and didn't go as well last year, it maybe is time to just take a step back and go, hey, our history's there. You know about our history, but I don't need to hit you over the head with it every single time you're in the building.
Yeah, I mean, they're pushing enough weight when they get on the bench press. They don't need to carry around 55 years of history. The purpose of that is not to be a burden or not to be a weight. It's to recall and to reaffirm these guys that they're part of something that's genuinely unique in the world.
No doubt.
By pulling those things down, by pulling all the signs down, by pulling the records down, the number one question we got from alumni was, well, what do we got to do to get them back up? Well, that starts with asking that question. We want our alumni to come back. We want our guys that have made Mueller what it is, both past and present, coaches and parents of former players. We want them all back. We want them to come back and just see who we are, walk through those doors that we're opening, and just be around us. And hopefully this is part of that.
Well, and with this podcast and what we're doing here now, we're kind of wetting the whistle. You know, we're still several months away from the season starting. But you also kind of mentioned it. It's May. School's going to be out here very, very soon, too. So people are going to scatter. We got vacations and everything coming up.
Yeah.
What we want to do with this particular podcast, and we're going to do it once a month here during the summer and kind of keep people updated to where you're at, where the guys are at, what you're planning on doing, and without getting too bogged down, I guess, in all the details. So for you, I mean, you've had the experience at the University of Cincinnati. You saw the social media world. What we're trying to do, I mean, I guess kind of explain what it is we want to do by opening those doors, like you were talking about, through different mediums.
Well, and football is it's kind of the front porch of the school right now. And about the same thing with all of our athletics. I mean, it's something that people get a real quick glimpse at.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not doing our job well, people might think that that's the limit to what we are. But that... how we decorate our front porch at our house has some nice pillows and a little flower arrangement. But, I mean, that doesn't tell my story. It certainly doesn't tell our whole families, right? But so what we want to do is let people know that our football players are not just football players. More, they are Moeller students. They're young men of faith and character that do wonderful things. And football gets a little bit of attention, but we've got guys that left a workout yesterday and then went and performed in the choral concert.
Mm-hmm.
We had guys that are in multiple sports. We have people that are part of the drama, the production. Football is an aspect of them that gets a lot of attention. But the purpose of football is to serve the mission statement of the school, to be Catholic and be Marianist and to develop these young students into remarkable men. So hopefully through things like this and opening our doors, we get a chance to show that mission statement thoroughly.
You've been very, very involved with kind of changing the culture a little bit while maintaining the history, like we talked a little bit about. And there's one young man in particular, kind of this goes along with what we were just talking about, broadening the whole experience at Moeller High School, a young man named Liam Smith. And I know you really wanted to make mention about what his accomplishments are and what he's done for the Moeller program.
I mean, we have a guy that never wore a football helmet for Moeller football, but probably has done more in the last few months than any coach or any player has. He took his talents, which are in art. I mean, he was blessed and gifted with the ability to paint on murals on downtown and over the Rhine. On day one, he came in and offered his services because he knew that we wanted to have the biggest American flag in all of football, in any weight room in the country, pro, college, high school, didn't matter.
Did you go find a way to measure that out?
We just picked a giant wall.
There you go, exactly.
Which is the giantest wall. I know giantest isn't it. That sounds really
It's good
bad,
enough.
But, you know,
I think we get the
picture. We wanted a statement that our guys were going to be dedicated to the greater things in life, that it's okay to say I'm a small part of something very big. And so we have our Mary statue, and we've got our crucifix, and we have an American flag. Well, Liam came in with his talents and spent most of winter break hand painting a gigantic, but very accurate to what a veteran would find respectful. I mean, a very accurate American flag. And we put a rack right in front of it, and the guys earn their way into that rack. So when a player says that that young man has earned my spot, he gives it up to him, and by effort and attitude, they come in. And it's a reward that they're managing as players, but we needed something to galvanize that, and the American flag painting was it. And Liam came in on a scaffolding with his dad, letting himself in at all hours of the day, and it is absolutely beautiful. If you haven't seen it, you can check it out on any of our Twitter feeds. Most of our guys are tweeting about it today, but $100,000 scholarship to Parsons.
I was going to say, he's got to take that talent somewhere, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
gosh.
If you're that talented, and he is, which is unbelievable. He's got a $100,000 art scholarship.
I mean, a school charges more than $100,000. I don't know if they ride on a unicorn to school or whatever. It's amazing. But that's one of that is the premier art institute in the country. I mean, we're thrilled for him. He's going to crush it out there in architecture. But he gave so much to a program that he doesn't play football. I mean, that's not his sport, but he recognizes passion. He recognizes a vision for the school. And we want to be that program where guys come in and they're part of Moeller football through graphic design, through social media, through any art and passion and talent that they have. It has to be displayed through Moeller football. So we're thrilled. We're so appreciative.
I love it.
The rising seniors presented him with a football that was signed by them and all the coaches. And Just can't begin to say enough good things about him.
Well, congratulations, Liam. That is very, very cool. What a great accomplishment for him. And another little feather in the cap for another man of Moeller.
So, yeah, no question.
Very, very cool. One other thing, and as we do, we're going to do this in a couple of different segments. So we'll have three segments when we're all said and done with. One of the things that you also were able to accomplish, Moeller's been a Nike school for a number of years, but you went even deeper into the Nike world and now have the basketball phenom of all time, Michael Jordan. Well, some may argue that, Skinny. We can argue that another time. But
no, I'm more of a Michael Jordan than LeBron guy.
I will take that as well. Michael Jordan and what that part of Nike is going to be with football.
Well, I can't take all the credit for it. I mean, it's definitely cooler than I am. I don't necessarily understand a basketball player on a football jersey, but the guys, they said that was it. I mean, they really thought that was important to them. And I think if the more that they feel comfortable in their own clothes or they get excited about that stuff, the better they'll perform, the more confident. Yeah,
there's no doubt, because you'll see some teams in uniforms, and you'll ask the coach, and the coach will go, "Not my decision, man. That's what the kids want." Yeah, if it's what they want, they feel good about it, it raises their confidence level, go for it.
I just wanted a shirt that was comfortable.
Right, exactly.
You know?
I mean, I'm
a former lineman, and when we had to wear our jerseys to school, and they fit all bad,
your
number gets crinkled up, so you look like you're wearing semicolon. Like,
yeah, correct. That's not cool.
No, you don't want to wear that. So we wanted a comfortable polo for game day, and you know, our partnership with Nike is one of the more unique things in high school sports. I mean, there are colleges that are calling and asking how do you get to work with Nike so well? Not just the brand of Jordan, but the swoosh itself. The Nike people have been phenomenal to us. We're blessed to have them as partners, and this is just an extension of that. Our coaches, our players will be training in that cloth and that material, and it also represents the athletic type of frame that we're trying to develop in our student athletes. We want our guys to be more well-rounded, to play multiple sports and get out there. And that Jordan brand hopefully kind of demonstrates that crossover we're looking for, explosivity and athleticism and competitiveness that our guys will get by playing multiple sports and doing other things and inside the school. So I think overall, in time, I'm getting used to it. The guys wanted it because it was a Jordan swoosh. You know,
sure. Yeah, right, correct.
But no, it worked out. Nike has been great. Our partners at BSN have been phenomenal. Jody Hampton was kind of the point person on that, and I've known him for a long time, and he's a problem solver, comes up with great solutions for us. And by and by now, I think we've got one of the more unique brands in high school sports.
Guys, we're going to take a quick break here. We're just getting started with head coach Doug Rosfeld. We're 6 months into the new tenure for the new head football coach. Our very first segment and our very first episode. This is On the Air with Moeller Football. Head coach Doug Rosfeld, along with Richard Skinner, and I'm Greg Waddell. We'll take a quick timeout. More coming up on ESPN Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Getting answers, finding solutions. Local 12 News investigates.
As soon as we called you, everything happened very quickly.
Not afraid to ask the tough questions. Taking action, getting the truth. Local 12 News investigates.
Are you looking to produce your own podcast? ESP Media has state-of-the-art audio and video production studios available for you. Our studio rental rates are the most competitive in town. Contact us today at sales@espmediasn.com or 513-655-4966. That's 513-655-4966. It's your podcast. We just produce it.
Craftsman Electric's been owned and operated by Charlie and Kay Fisher for over 30 years now. No matter what type of electric work you need, Craftsman Electric can handle it. Find out for yourself why 70% of their customers are repeat customers. 70%. Or check them out on Angie's List, where they've received the Super Service Award every year since 2007. Craftsman Electric. Dependable, affordable, honest. Call Jessica to schedule service at 513-891-4426 or visit CraftsmanElectric.com. Quality craftsmanship. It's right there in the name.
Back here, episode number one, ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports. We are on the air with Moeller Football head coach Doug Rosfeld. I'm Greg Waddell, and Richard Skinner here as well. And guys, I know we're still a long ways out from football season, but we want to get people pumped up and excited and just remembering that Moeller Football is not too far down the road. And we're going to do this during the summer monthly. And in one of the segments that we want to do, Doug, we're going to kind of just throw some grab bag kind of questions at you. And I know Skinny,
this is where you're unscripted, unprepared, man.
Here we go.
Yeah, this will be kind of fun. So we got a little helmet here. It's a Moeller helmet. that, although it's got the old logo.
Well, and
there.
You got some skull and crossbones on there now, too. That's
good.
That's
oh, defense. It does have some skull and crossbones. Oh, I like
that's
that. Good.
We'll
yeah.
take that. That's good.
So we got a couple little different topics that we're going to throw out there. I'll pull the first one out there. We'll let Skinny pull the next one out of there. But and just different little random thoughts about Moeller football, about Duggar Ausfeld. It can be a little bit of either of these, so I haven't even looked at them. Okay, this is a pretty good one. Field turf or grass playing surface? You're a former player. You probably played in the days of grass, but then you went to UC. You probably had some of the field turf. Your thoughts on that?
Well, we got actually in there to play on a synthetic surface or a grass surface. I'm sorry, in college, it's like you're like on holy ground. Like you stop and you take a knee and you like pull it, you smell and rub it in your hands and all that kind of stuff. Like
dirt.
Oh my gosh, like that stuff is that's a rare moment. I like synthetic surface, to be honest. That field turf feels good. It isn't as sticky as that old AstroTurf was.
And some of that old AstroTurf, too. I mean, the padding under it for some places. People would tell you old Veterans Stadium and even Riverfront at times, it was like playing on concrete.
It is. And I think it depends on the field. Like some places you'll go and you're like, oh, this is just awful. You're going to get stuck or there's divots in there. So it really, you'd think it's all uniform, but even in high school sports, like one stadium to the next, they're completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are.
Did most grass fields that you played on, did any of them have crowns?
They had that crown.
Yeah.
And we would, so.
And as a center, I mean, you're snapping on top of the crown or on the side of the crown, depending on the hash mark, right?
Or your left foot's up in the air. Yeah, right. Kind of hanging right. Out. I wasn't enough of an athlete, though, to really tell a difference. You know, it was just turf. And down at Cincinnati, we got a chance to play in some wonderful places. And you would see a crown field that was well-kept grass. But it's just still tough. It's still tough to keep that good and keep it managed.
Right.
But the turf, the thing they need to figure out with turf for all sports is how to make it more uniform, because you can go from one surface to the next and it's like, I mean,
totally different.
Completely different.
Yeah. Well, and you, I'm sure you've been practicing, or I don't know if you can or not. Have you been out on the field at Moeller, the Jerry Faust Complex, and that football field? And I think that's 11 or 12 years old.
I think that
turf is somewhat worn in. So
well, and if you go back and you keep servicing it the way that they've done, like Mike Asbeck has done a really good
it
job.
Looks great. Yeah,
so like we it's also the lacrosse home field, so that spot where the goalie stands can get faded. So if you replace that first and you keep track of the hot spots, then it can last a really long time. Our turf has been groomed. It's getting brushed every single day. Those things go so far.
Yeah.
So I think initially people were throwing out this turf saying, we won't have to spend the kind of money, but if you're not brushing it, cleaning it, replacing it at the same rate you would a grass field, it's going to wear out quick.
And that's the thing. It's not like it doesn't require care. It requires a lot of care, for goodness sakes.
And I think the science behind training guys has changed because it gets so hot on those fields. Yeah, I think that's another thing. I mean, really, the temperatures soar in the summer on those things. So you have to be a little bit more astute and aware of what's going on around you.
So all right. Field turf it is, then.
Field turf.
All right.
Field turf it is. Gridiron grab bag question number two. I'm like you. I've not seen any of these.
Yep.
Favorite UC football moment?
Well, man.
How much time do we have?
Oh, geez Louise. Well, you know, it beat Miami. I'm not going to hold back. I mean, this is what it is. No, that's going to cost me. To be honest, I think when I was down there this past year, we hit for the third year in a row the academic award. And then this past semester, for the first time ever, they got a 3.0. I mean, those are my buddies. Those are the guys I work with are still down there. A lot of the support staff has been there for a long, long time. We've got people in our academic wing it doesn't matter if we're winning or losing. And I think this is probably true of almost every single university. It doesn't matter if their teams are winning or losing. In the trenches, not getting attention, are those academic support people that are there taking care of their health, their well-being, their academics. And so to see these guys get a 3.0, that was unbelievable.
How about as a player? Was there a favorite moment as a player?
Yeah, I beat Miami. I mean,
okay. we'll go back to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like that. We really, my sophomore, junior year, we struggled quite a bit. And then turning around and going to a bowl my senior year was fantastic. We've got rivalries. Louisville was a big one at the time. Miami was a big one. So bowl games are big, but I always like the team atmosphere. Like when we prep for an opponent that we had our mind on for the whole time, and then beating them was a big deal.
Yeah.
And if you set your mind to it, but you get the expectation of winning, then the next week you don't have that fall off.
Right.
And so for us, we've got some big rivalries. I mean, Elder is as big of a rival as it gets. So they're tucked in between a couple other league opponents. We don't want to ramp up too much against Elder, so that we don't pay attention to our other league opponents, but playing that game down at UC, getting ready for that. That's our homecoming. I mean, they're going to be ready to rock and roll. But it's okay. Set our targets to the number one guy on our season.
I don't know if you're letting a cat out of the bag yet, or the schedule is out yet, or not. So Elder at UC, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we'll be playing Elder down at the pit, and that's good. I mean, it's a big title. It's an old rivalry. I think I still have a Beat Elder T-shirt from when I was here.
And that's one of those ones you wear underneath your game day shirt, or your, whatever your game day clothes.
There's
the day.
No question,
absolutely.
And when your kid, I saw my son wearing it once. I'm like, get that off. That's not, you know. But no, that would be a big one.
All righty, initials JMJ.
Oh yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Well, when I was a puppy coming up here, I'd always see stuff coming out from Moeller Football with it, and then Moeller Sports in particular. And it's Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Coach Faust put that at the top of all of his papers, and it just stuck. It was a nice little habit that kind of kept me focused on what we're putting out. When I came back here to Moeller, then you got to have a model of leadership, right? I mean, you have to have something that you're shooting for, a pinnacle. And so our brand of leadership models the Holy Family. So there's aspects of each of those three that are important for a young guy to pick up. And so we push the Holy Family then as our model of leadership. There's other forms of leadership. People can, you know, some schools have other phrases or terms. We've got a mission statement, but the model for in our program for what a young guy should aspire for, really we want our families and our young guys, just turn to the Holy Family. That's our thing. Other people have other ones. Our model for leadership is look at that each of those three in the individual ways that they were a wonderful leader, and embody those and go for it. And just as a reminder for our guys, one of the faith that we carry forth, the second one really being is our brand of leadership, what we're pointing toward.
All right, I got the last one here, right?
Let's do it. Last one.
These are some layups now. Now
oh, layups. Oh, we're going to have to toughen them up then for the June podcast, right. Episode 2.
Just two words here. Steve Cloney.
That's good. Now, I got to be careful now because I'm sure he'll hear this, and if I say it wrong, he'll get me. So Coach Cloney is back on our staff as my head coach. Wanted to make sure in a culture of accountability and hard coaching that I had somebody that would be evaluating me. So we had a staff meeting, and all the coaches broke out and had their follow-up meetings, and I went in the room with Coach Cloney, and he walked me through things I did well and didn't do well. So the goal, hopefully, is that you know, I'm going to make mistakes, especially as a rookie coach. I'm hoping that he'll pull me in that room and give me the what for. Why'd you do that on third down? But no, he's been an important part of my life. A lot of who he was as a coach when he was here in his personal life and his professional life, I hope to achieve, and I see similarities with.
Was he brutally honest to the point where it was good?
No, he's not. He's too kind for that. Okay. I told him that. Like, come on, coach, let's go. You know,
was he that way as a coach when you played?
Oh, no, he's brutally honest as a coach. Come on. I mean, I remember I made the mistake of suggesting shotgun snapping my junior year, and he said, end of conversation. You know, move on. But no.
It was a suggestion, that's all.
I'm just throwing it. It's a grab bag, coach.
Yeah, exactly.
Just throwing it out. Now, to be honest, he is such a good man, and he cares very much about the people he's with and would worry about how they would take his information. I told him, we've got a lot of young coaches, a lot of great guys. If you stand on a grease board and you're going to draw up a scheme and Steve Cloney is sitting in there, you better lose sleep the night before. I mean, you know, you better practice it. You better – if you stand in front of a guy like Coach Cloney and you're going to say, I got an idea, it better be a really good idea. Those better be nice little tight ovals and not big circles with X's through them. I mean, it better be sharp. We need that. That's if we're going to be the best in the best version of ourselves, we'll say that. If we're going to be the best version of Moeller football we can be, then we need that highest level of accountability, and hopefully he's that for us.
He's interesting, too, because when I was covering preps at the Post, the Ohio prep side in the early 90s when he was the head coach at Moeller, from the outside looking in, he scared the daylights out of me until the first phone call I made to do a story on somebody. Couldn't have been better. And honestly, really always enjoyed conversations with Coach Cloney. But it would just seem like there was something iconic, A, about the Moeller job still is, and about him at that point in time, too, that literally scared the daylights out of me until you realize he's a pretty good guy.
No, he's unbelievable. And we're not trying to be territorial of him either. I mean, there's high school programs, college programs around this area in the country that want to pick his brain. We want him out there. I mean, he's too much of an asset to our region, to high school football. Mm-hmm. I just need that kind of personal accountability as a coach. And I'll tell you, when he walks in, I get happy to see him, and then I immediately remember, all right, I got to get going. You know, I have to be on my A game. I spent time on the phone with him just recently asking for advice in my personal life. So he's been an important part of my life. I just absolutely revere him, and I think that hopefully I'll be a better coach because he's nipping at my tail a bit.
And I would think that will also help to open those doors again, like you talked to alumni, former parents of players who are there too when they know that he's still around too.
Yeah, no question. Because at least they know, like, well, this rookie's got somebody that knows what he's doing over there. So, yeah,
no accountability, definitely a good thing.
Yeah, no question.
All right, that's our gridiron grab bag segment. We're going to do that every week. Layup, so I guess we're going to have to make them a little tougher.
Not too hard.
For the month of June.
Not
so
too hard.
We'll take another quick timeout and come back with more. This is our episode number one, our On the Air with Moeller Football number one with head coach Doug Rosfeld and Richard Skinner. I'm Greg Odell. We'll take a quick break on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Accurate Masonry has over a decade of specialized experience with commercial masonry services. Just as important as our skills and professional focus is our dedication to customer service and satisfaction. Call our Cincinnati location today at 513-769-3300. That's 513-769-3300. Or visit our website at accuratemasonryllc.com to discuss your next project. Accurate Masonry, we're here to help.
We're back at Skyline to see what it is that makes people feel so good.
So what's brought you to Skyline today?
Oh, the Coneys, it looks like.
Obviously the Coneys. Yeah. I love Coneys.
You feel like you know everyone when you walk in the door.
This is a place friendships were made. Great food, great service, great people.
Anytime you ask the kids, where do you guys want to eat at Skyline?
It's delicious. The cheese melts in your mouth.
Anytime that I don't have to cook, that's always a good thing.
You never have a bad meal at Skyline, ever.
Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
For every hero, there is an origin story, an experience that made them who they are. For a new generation of explorers, pioneers, and innovators, that experience is calling, offering a different kind of education, one guided by distinguished professors who understand experience is the best teacher. Greatness lies beyond the classroom. This is where you start. University of Cincinnati. Do more.
We are back on the air with Moeller Football on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports. Head coach Doug Rosfeld, Moeller Football. Yeah, it's only May. This is our first segment, episode number one, or our episode number one, and now our third segment. But that being said, time's going to go really, really fast, and football season will be upon us. But there's a lot of planning that needs to be done. You've been here now for 6 months, coach, and the fact that you've had to put a staff together. You've had to kind of put some of your part, the way that you want this football team to be run, and putting your signature on that. So let's talk about the coaches that are here now, changes that are there, guys that are back, and how that's all progressed.
Well, I think the biggest priority is that we put great men in front of our guys, making sure that they were there. You can turn a guy into a good coach pretty quick, but you can't turn a guy into a good guy overnight. So we started with great men of character, and then the second one is guys that support really the mission statement of the school. They got to be willing to see what Moeller stands for. Moeller's a specific approach, and then jump all in, because we don't want to make a subculture of Moeller football. We want Moeller football really to be Moeller's football team. So, from day one, even the guys I've known for a long time, the guys that came back, the guys that were new, didn't matter. They needed to take a good look at us as a school and decide if that's what they want to be part of. And I think as we stand right now with about 95% of the staff set on all levels, we've got a group of men that are phenomenal in character, that are highly qualified and experienced as coaches. A lot of enthusiasm, but most importantly, they really like and love the way that Moeller has been taking the approach of developing young guys of character. So
do you want to name any of them? Maybe start with like the coordinators and kind of work our way from there.
Well, we talked about Coach Clawney in that consulting role, but I guess he is
the king of quality control. We'll give him that title.
The quality better be high, because I'm not answering to Coach Clawney if the scripts aren't right. Todd Nauman is returning to Moeller football as the associate head coach. Todd has coordinated special teams at Moeller, offense at Moeller, and defense at Moeller, and he's been in a number of schools. Experience coaches way out of problems in games, put game plans together that were successful. He knows how it's supposed to look. And he could take any of those positions. He could have coordinated either side of the ball. But really, the second thing I needed as a rookie coach is somebody that was another level of accountability for me. So he's in both. He's coaching our safeties, but he's also on offense and defense as the associate head coach. Everything's running through him. So that whole pillar of our organization that is with coaching and X's and O's, he's in charge of it, making sure that everything's going to get lined up. Our playbooks are being developed on the right schedule. Our young men understand who we're going to be, and that they're receiving the right type of instruction in the weight room, you know, and that their grades are up to date, like everything is good for him. So he really, in a lot of ways, is acting as an associate head coach, sure, overseeing all levels. So we're thrilled about that. Yeah, he was my history teacher, I think, when I was a puppy here. So it's good moving him around a bit.
That is good. Yeah. Let's start on the offensive side then.
Yeah, so then we stayed in-house with a lot of our guys. We're trying to bring more in-house coaches in. So that started with Todd. I mean, he's our safeties coach, but he's on both sides. And then Chris Majors will be our offensive coordinator. Slap, that's a nickname I guess I only know. Well, we'll cross that in another show. So, Slap Majors is our offensive coordinator.
That sounds like another grab bag one. Why Slap? Yeah,
why Slap?
I've got that in quotes right now.
He's
Slap.
Not going to like that. So Slap's going to be – Chris is going to be offensive coordinator. He does a phenomenal job. We worked together under Coach Crable and then a year under Coach Rodenberg together. Developed a lot of game plans that were successful. Like him a lot. And he was excited about the type of offense that we want to run this year. And has been the point person for creating it. And then hired two offensive line coaches that I coached. That was a big part. I mean, I knew that the number one job of the O-line coach was to keep me away from the O-line. So it was important that they were guys that either developed me or I developed as a coach. The two young men are phenomenal. The one is Michael Blum. He's an in-house teacher here, young guy with a ton of enthusiasm, played rugby and football. At Moeller, and then played at Carroll College. He's the point guy, the lead on the offensive line, and culturally is a real big mover in the school. And then Alex Gall, who played for us in that same stretch and then went down to the U and played, he's returning, and he'll be helping out with the offensive line as well. So a couple young guys.
Yeah, that's exciting there too. So you kind of have that little – not that you're an old dude either, though. So you've got that tie-in with these young whippersnappers now that – I don't even know what we're past millennials. What's the next Gen Y?
I don't think they have a label yet. We haven't labeled them yet. No. Someone will label them. Yeah exactly.
I just know the O line would be like the squirrel that I would chase. You know, like so. I'm on the sideline and I see something. I needed guys that I knew the words that we needed to run and that kind of stuff. The language, the verbiage, the technique. So they know. Like when they're working on their schemes as a staff and they're putting it together, and I hear O line getting talked about, I'll walk in and Michael, you know, give me the little. Hey.
And I'm like, not to cut you off, but how hard is that though? Because that's kind of your area.
It's impossible.
And you'll have your finger in a lot of all this stuff, but to try to let them coach at the same time, knowing okay, what if we do it this way? That's hard. It's a real fine line.
No question. Yeah, and I spent more time with the defense over the last few years and learned a lot there and enjoy talking football in any way. Really, I do enjoy it. My poor wife, there's X's and O's drawn on every fog mirror, you know, the shower glass, all that kind of napkins everywhere. I mean, it's awful. But O-line in particular, I mean, that's my baby. And especially here, Moeller's offensive line matters to me at all stages of my life. And so to have two guys that I trust and really care for as people running it is important. So.
And we'll get into specific players as we get down the road. One name, though, that's out there, it's been around since his freshman year, Zach Carpenter. He's the sky's the limit for this young man.
Yeah, I think that he is probably the most publicly known expression of the hard work that these young men have done for their whole careers here. Mm-hmm. The last 3 years, they've maximum effort in the weight room, total sacrifice and dedication on the field. They've been phenomenal. And Zach is probably the biggest the most the most public.
Literally, yeah.
Oh, I mean, they're awesome. I mean, the offense and defensive line is a strength of this program, and it'll be incumbent on us to make sure that we develop a system that displays that, and we cultivate and move forward. So Zach will be a big part of that.
Absolutely. So let's move to the defensive side coaches.
Well, we've also got Andy Cruz too. Andy Cruz is in town, and he's the one I'm in trouble with for the Miami comments because he was such a great ball player. That's going to cost me big Miami. Time. I have to be so careful about that. And those they run a great program. They really do. Hopefully that gets me out of a little trouble with Andy. Now, Andy was a standout at Turpin, is a two-sport coach here, basketball and football. He's our special teams coordinator, and he'll have the wide receivers. He's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Relates well to the young guys. And through his career as a special ed teacher, Coach Majors is as well, but Andy really knows how to teach. So there's so many things and nuances to the position of receiver that he has mastery on how to convey and how to teach it. So we're excited right now. We just added Greg Darris, who is in our guidance department, had coached football with me here last time when I was here before as our tight ends coach. So we'll have on the varsity and JV offensive side of the ball, we'll have with one spot still open, we'll have at least five in-house coaches. Which is new for us. Yeah, we're working toward at least 10, trying to get as many in-house guys as we can.
And the players will be able to relate when they see him in the classroom as well, not just at the practice field. I think, I think that is a pretty big thing. So
then over on the defensive side of the ball, we've got Jay Volker as our defensive coordinator. He's done a phenomenal job at a couple of different locations. Most recently, he was at LaSalle, did a phenomenal job in their weight room. And was in various roles in that program for the last few years. We're blessed to have him. He has a connection with Rick Minner. He and his brother worked with Jesse and Rick Minner together, and Rick has been a mentor of mine ever since my playing days. So in the process of coming on board and figuring out what was next in my career and my time at UC, Coach Minner was one of my first phone calls. And so when this opportunity came about, the one of the first people I went to was Coach Minner. So he's been a great advisor, and Jay brings so much enthusiasm and collegiate experience to our defense. We're excited that he's part of it.
And then linebackers coming. Have you rounded out the whole defensive side?
No, we've got a few spots that are open. Primarily,
Tony May.
Yeah, little ones that are the number in the program is small. I mean, our numbers aren't as big as they once were. So we're taking that varsity and JV. Those coaches will have dual responsibility.
Okay.
So it's a bigger varsity staff, but those guys then will go down. So we have a few more spots to round out on both sides of the ball. But we've got Shane Jones, who was a standout for us during that state run. He'll be our inside linebackers coach. And then Adam McClain, who has been a special teams guru, who was a JV defensive coach or offensive coordinator last year. He'll be coaching our outside linebackers. And we're going to hold up kickoff as our baby. We really want to – some ways people use punt. Kickoff is going to be a good source of pride for us here. And guys that are on the starting kickoff team will work with him in particular. Mm-hmm. So we've got a really linebacker-heavy defensive staff because those guys are going to do so many different jobs for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Then Todd, we talked about with safeties. And Ben Mormon, who is a Mueller graduate, has coached here for the last few years. He'll be our corners coach. Ben's dad, Tim, will also be a kicking consultant for us. He'll work with our kickers.
Wow,
a great staff. I mean, Mueller, Rich, a lot of enthusiasm, good diversity too, and where they're from and their perspectives on life. And then we've got two D-line coaches right now, Don Ginetti, who was part of the program last year. His son is graduating this year through the lacrosse program.
I watch him play lacrosse.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Oh, yeah. We need to get one of those tough Youngstown State guys in. get those Youngstown guys in. And then Alex Pace, who played down at the University of Cincinnati, originally out of Glenville up in Cleveland. He'll be back joining us from UC to coach the defensive line. So a good varsity and JV staff is starting to come together.
Well, that's going to be exciting to watch these guys all kind of work together with and how this whole thing comes together. And that's what the idea of this is going to be, our little segments here, the on-the-air episodes that we'll do monthly. Once we get into the season, then we'll start to get in weekly.
It'll be good. And I don't want to just gloss over that freshman staff. I know with a minute or two, we've got – you know, last year when I came on board, I didn't know really any of them. Dave Fowler is a longtime defensive coach for Mueller. He's back on the freshman level, but I didn't know any of those freshman coaches. But when we interviewed parents, coaches, and staff that we know, they had the highest reviews. I mean, they were just their evaluations were phenomenal. And then you watch the product they put on the field is great. So Tony Affetato is back as our freshman head coach. We've got Tony Nemish and Akeem Oliver, Brian Milne. I mean, we've got a phenomenal staff of experienced coaches, guys that have been head coaches in other places, played in the NFL. Our freshman staff's number one priority is the health, the safety, and the fun of the sport of football. Getting these kids love more.
That's a huge level, obviously. I mean, that transition from middle school to high school is a big one, physically, mentally, all of those things. And that's where you find out, do I love this enough to stay with it? And have I learned enough to then get to the next level and play over the next couple of years?
It's paramount. And that's why we're not going to just treat them as a farm program. We want to be fundamentally involved. But they do such a phenomenal job. Here in Mueller, you'll see those teams have traditionally done very, very well.
Right.
So last year, amidst a lot of difficulty, that was a division that operated with a high functionality. And so we're thrilled to have them intact all back for next year.
Well, Doug, this has been great, kind of a little preview of what's to come coming up in the fall this year. I know graduation's coming up very, very soon, so we'll let you get back at all that and finish out this school year. And then I know the work's still going on all through the summer, and we'll get together again about a month from now. I think we're going to try around June 6th or so. So.
And we'll make the grab bag tougher.
Oh, geez Louise.
He kind of waffled there for a second. He said at one point, I don't know if it has to be tougher.
Well, between now and then, we got a lot going on at Mueller High School. Hopefully people will go check out our website and check out the social media accounts for
Twitter,
all our programs. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And not just the athletic aspect, but graduation is next week, and you get to see the wonderful accomplishments on and off the field of our young men. And then hopefully people want to come join us. We're going to be putting out a few more events in the summer. We're going to try and do a movie night up there, do a few different takes on camps, but please have them go check
football
out.
Football camps, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And how can they get involved with that?
If they go to letsgobigmo.com and then they check out that website, every sport, every activity, a lot of different academic camps are there as well, too. So hopefully they'll... just from hearing this, the only thing we'd ask is just learn a little bit more about the Mueller family on and off the field.
It's a good family to be involved with.
No question.
Doug, we're very excited to see where this is all going to go. We're just getting started, and we'll get together again about a month from now, sometime in June, and then we'll have one more in July, and then it's starting for real.
And then it goes.
It's going to be fast.
Well, I appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank
Doug,
you.
Doug, good luck. Good luck with all the boys graduating this upcoming week, and we'll get together again about a month from now. It's been great to get together here with Doug Rosfeld and Richard Skinner. I'm Greg Waddell. Thanks for listening to On the Air with Mueller Football on ESPN Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
ESP Media has been producing and operating websites, mobile apps, game films, broadcasts, and social media content since 2010. We have entered into an exciting partnership with Sidearm Sports, the number one provider of collegiate athletic websites in the world. If you're reevaluating your athletic website's overall look and day-to-day operation, ESP Media can assist you. Reach us today at 513-655-4966 or email us at sales@espmediasn.com. Join ESP Media and Sidearm Sports to be the leader. You are listening to ESP Media's broadcast of the Mueller Crusaders.